Welcome, Arizona. You are tuned in to the Rosie on the House Saturday morning weekly radio broadcast, a 27-year Arizona tradition. And today, starting off the 8 o'clock hour, like we always do, we're talking landscape and gardening, in particular trees this Saturday. Our monthly tree segment is the second Saturday of the month, so you might be asking yourself, why trees again today? Well, John, why are we talking trees today?
We're talking trees for many, many reasons, but we have the privilege of being up here in Flagstaff doing this remote broadcast, sitting in the middle of the NAU campus up in Flag, and it's just beautiful here. About 70 degrees out right now, shirt sleeve weather, and man, this is a great place for talking trees broadcast today.
And talk to me about the event. And of course, this is John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, our monthly host for the Talking Trees segment. It's hosted by the Arizona Community Tree Council.
The Arizona Community Tree Council is a consortium of professionals, industry professionals, and municipal representatives and Indian tribes, people that love trees and want to be a part of helping promote the proper care of trees and the planting of trees around the state of Arizona. They host this event every year. It's a tree climbing competition that qualifies one really good climber to go on and represent Arizona at a regional tree climbing competition. And it is a blast. There's five events today. You have the Belayed Speed Climb.
Okay, so talk through them. Belayed Speed Climb.
Belayed Speed Climb. Yes, this is an event that guys...
How do you belay up a tree? Well, I've seen it on rock climbing and wall towers and stuff like that.
Well, essentially, the climbers have to go from the ground to a cowbell that's hung in the tree 60 feet above the ground. They have to get there as fast as they can. But they're belayed. They're actually tied in, and someone is taking up the slack on their line as they descend. So in case they would fall off the tree, they're going to be protected. But this way, they can just fly up there without any fear of getting hurt. And the first one to the top, it's a timed event. They're the winner of that event.
So 60 feet, how long does that take these guys? Is that like a 60-second, a second a foot, or are they going faster?
You're talking about 10 seconds. Yeah. This is an international event. It's a judged event. There are qualified judges at all these events around the world. The regional competition champion goes on and represents the U.S., who goes on to represent the country at the international event. So there's chapters of the ISA all around the world, and the champions go on and compete together.
So they're climbing at 10 feet a second.
Yeah, just about.
Okay,
they're flying.
That's the belayed event. That's number one. Number two?
You have the throw line competition. What this event does is it simulates what a arborist does in a typical day's work. We try to make this event as close to approximating the various tasks that an arborist has. We have to follow safety protocols. We have to, show proper use of all of our equipment. And it's a training event to kind of help introduce arborists to the full scope of what's involved in doing good proper tree care. But it's a fun event at the same time. So the throw line competition is a way of getting your line set up in a tree. You throw this weighted ball that's connected to a small line up into various places in the tree, and then you, with the idea that you're going to pull your rope up through the tree using that smaller line. So it's a way of setting your line in the tree so you can ascend the tree. That throw line competition is just one of the five events. We also have a work climb, which starts a climber at a high point in the tree. And then they rappel down on their climbing line to various workstations in the tree. Once they've accomplished those certain tasks, they get to a certain point, and then they descend and rappel out of the tree. There are various components of that. All those, again, are judged criteria for a high score.
Now, is there something you use when you're looking at a limb to say, yeah, you know what, I can walk out on that without it breaking. That's going to support me. What are you using to make that judgment call? Is it the diameter? Is it anything that's smaller than your personal leg you don't climb on?
A couple of things. Well, you need to know your tree varieties, because there are some trees that are more brittle than others. So you need to know your varieties. Also, you need to know, just from experience, how much weight those limbs can bear. In the work climb competition, there's a weighted station where there is a branch, and we have to limb walk out on the branch, and there's a plumb bob hung from the branch over a little electronic device. If the plumb bob dips down and hits the electronic device, you lose your points on that branch. So the way to get out on the end of it is to leave most of your weight connected to your belay, your climbing line above you, so you're tiptoeing out onto that limb. And it's really cool to see the best climbers get out on the very tips of these branches without DQing on that that electronic device.
So then that's three events. We've got the straight-up climb, the throw line, the working climb.
You also have an aerial rescue, which simulates what would happen in the event that there was a somebody was hurt in a tree. You climb up into the tree. You get to the injured climber. At the whole time communicating with the ground, letting them know what you're planning to do. The idea is to safely bring the climber down to the ground where he can receive medical attention from an EMT. The last event is the – I'm trying to think what the last event is.
No problem.
Caught me off guard. Well, it'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah. Now, looking at these ropes, I mean, there's got to be enough rope. If you tied them all together end to end, you could probably wrap it around this campus. There's so many ropes here. What kind of rope are we looking at? I mean, I don't assume this is something you just get at a hardware store.
No, these are specifically made for the tree industry. They're dynamic ropes that allow a little bit of shock loading. They're all rated so that they can take a shock load in the case of a small fall. They're all also connected. Usually these are all tied into a pulley at the top. We try to protect the cambium of the tree by having a what's called a cambium saver, and we wrap that around the tree so that it'll protect the tree from the wear of the rope itself.
Now, this is an open event. I mean, we're just sitting in the courtyard. Anybody can come by and check it out. It's real easy to see. You just look for a tree with ropes dangling out, and they've got a caution tape around it, and that indicates there's climbers in the tree, and you have to have a hard hat to go inside the caution area. But it's still plenty close enough you can actually sit and watch the event. Talk about who's here today. Walking around setting up yesterday, I talked about stringing all the lines together. How long? If I counted up all the hours of experience and the people that are here, I mean, you could go back to creation, I think, with the amount of hours of tree expertise that's here.
Yeah, these are really qualified tree climbers, all these competitors. We also have what we call a novice climb today, and that is to introduce young climbers who haven't been in a competition before. It allows them to do a work climb that's specifically designed for them, and that's a lot of fun. But yeah, all these work areas are cordoned off for safety. Only hard hats are allowed inside those areas, and they're primarily for the judges, because the judges will stay inside there, and they need the ability to walk around the trees while they're observing the competitors in the trees. So they kind of give a little wide berth for those. But yeah, we always have a lot of spectators who come by, and you know, if you do come down to the campus today, be sure to bring a lawn chair, and maybe even a pair of binoculars, because it's really kind of nice to be able to scope in on the climbers and see exactly what they're doing.
Their hand movement with their
at the workstations, yeah, and how they're handling their equipment. On the Masters Challenge is a final event in the day, and that is the top competitors who make it through the preliminaries. And are the top ranked climbers at the end of our preliminary events of the day. They go on to what's called a master challenge, and that event is a single tree, usually the largest one we have here. And again, they are required to ascend the tree on their own, set their climbing line, ascend into the tree using a variety of methods. They can use mechanical ascenders, they can use a footlock technique, they can use body thrusting, they can get into the tree. Then they go to the various workstations, and the other competitors in the Masters Challenge are sequestered in a location where they cannot see the other competitors competing, because you don't have to do all the events, all the workstations in a sequence. You can do them in any order you want, but you're timed on how quickly you can get them done. You're also judged on style points and equipment that you employ and getting up into the tree and moving around it. So
I like that in the Masters, the competitors aren't watching whoever's currently doing it, because the first guy's obviously at a disadvantage.
Sure,
and you see one style, then the next guy does a second, he's faster. You're like, well, that's obviously the faster way to handle that tree. I like that. Now, If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. We're going to have the current president, Bonnie Irvine, on in the next segment. But we should probably get to today's tree.
Today's tree, I'm going to call the ponderosa pine.
That's
because
perfect.
We're up here in this area. It is one of the most durable pine trees. And it's really cool because the ponderosa, interestingly, is one of the most... Arizona hosts the largest contiguous pine forest in the world. The pines go from one side of the state to the other. There's a lot of ponderosas distributed all around the world, but we have the largest single stand of ponderosa pines. They are really durable. I remember when my parents built their cabin up in pine back in 1960, we started building around a couple of those trees. And unfortunately, my parents weren't really sensitive to the roots. They wanted those trees right next to the cabin, so they were chopping. And I remember they were using axes to cut the roots away so they could put some footings in and around those trees. And to this day, those trees are still standing. I can't believe it. I go there and I see the abuse those roots of those trees took. And they're just a really tolerant tree of a lot of damage, but a beautiful tree. You know, they grow so tall. You know, some of the big, huge ones are big yellows. They, you know, the lowest permanent branch is at about 80 feet off the ground.
And you can always tell by the aroma when you're in ponderosa because it's different than regular pine. You know when you're close to a ponderosa. It's just a very sweet vanilla-like aroma.
When I came up today, you know, when you come up past just the Sedona turnoff, you get into all the junipers, and all of a sudden you turn around the corner, and there you see the first ponderosa is kind of mixed in with the junipers, and it's a beautiful place.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U if you would like to join the conversation. It's Rosie on the House every Saturday morning, talking trees today live at the Arizona Community Tree Council's annual tree climbing event.